This is New England Public Radio's Jazz Beat. I'm Tom Reaney with a podcast edition of my jazz blog, which you can find at nepr.net. Today's podcast focuses on Howlin' Wolf's groundbreaking appearance on the popular music show Shindig on May 20th, 1965. It's a luxury afforded by YouTube that we can enjoy historic performances like Howlin' Wolf on Shindig without leaving the comfort of our homes. 25 years ago, when I first saw this amazing footage, that wasn't the case. In October 1991, I learned that the Shindig clip was going to be screened at the Henry Street Settlement House in New York. I'd seen an excerpt of the performance in the documentary 25 by 5, The Continuing Adventures of the Rolling Stones. A friend owned a copy, and every time I stopped by, I'd asked him to cue up the scene with Wolf. But the excerpt was terribly brief, so when I learned that the entire 4-minute clip was going to be screened in New York, I beat a quick path to the city. That's Howlin' Wolf in 1951 singing How Many More Years. As it happened, the footage flew by on the big screen at Henry Street, but it was followed by Wolf's former sidemen Hubert Sumlin, Henry Gray, Eddie Shaw, Calvin Jones, and S.P. Leary playing a concert of his music. Notwithstanding some bickering between them, seeing Hubert Sumlin and Henry Gray together was a real bonus, and it made the whole venture worthwhile, with one significant caveat. I'd attended the event with three friends and a 7-month-old baby boy. We'd spent that beautiful fall day walking dozens of blocks down to the Lower East Side, and later left Henry Street buoyed by the thrill of what we'd just seen and the convenience of catching the A train uptown to Diggs in Washington Heights. However, as the subway got further into Harlem, it began to empty out of passengers, and we were suddenly alone on the car. And just like that, two jittery guys jumped on at 135th Street, brandished a gun, and demanded everything, cash and rings and watches. Thankfully, that and a few beads of sweat was all we lost, but the threat they presented as nervous gunmen facing off against a party with an infant is something we'll never forget. I'd stared down the barrels of a couple of pistols by that time, and while the experience may have helped me remain calm during the holdup, PTSD set in the following morning. It would keep me away from the city for nearly a year.
Oh, smokestack lightning, shining just like gold. Why don't you hear me cry? Ooh, ooh, ooh.
That's Howlin' Wolf singing Smokestack Lightning. 13 years later, in 2004, I paid a visit to Chicago that coincided with an exhibit called Sweet Home Chicago, Big City Blues. It was on view at the Museum of Science and Industry near the University of Chicago in Hyde Park. The exhibit consisted of individual stations devoted to 25 major figures in blues, ranging from Dinah Washington, Muddy Waters, and Eddie Boyd to Junior Wells, Otis Rush, and Magic Sam. For this blues lover, it was the equal of a major retrospective on Cézanne or Picasso. Each kiosk was loaded with photographs, posters, handbills, and other memorabilia for each artist, including Paul Butterfield's passport, The sales receipt for Little Walter's sweater from Goldblatt's, the department store immortalized in Billy Boy Arnold's I Ain't Got You. Guitars played by Tampa Red, John Lee Hooker, Robert Nighthawk, and Buddy Guy. A coffee-stained envelope on which Charlie Musselwhite had jotted down the lyrics to Help Me in preparation for his first album. And much to my surprise, the AFTRA application that Howlin' Wolf, under the name Chester Burnett, had filled out in pencil for his appearance on Shindig. Wolf was born Chester Arthur Burnett on June 10, 1910, at West Point, Mississippi. In 1968, he recalled his early encounters with blues legends Charlie Patton and Rice Miller, who was the second harmonica player to call himself Sonny Boy Williamson.
Man come through there picking a guitar called Charlie Patton, and I liked his sound. So I always did want to play a guitar. So I got him to show me a few chords, you know. And so every night that I'd get off of work, I'd go over to his house and he'd learn me how to pick the guitar. So I got good with it. So I went out for myself. Now, if I got out there, everything was great. See, and the people went for what I was putting down. And I decided that I would play. So I asked my father to get me a guitar. 1928, 15th day of January. He went and got me a guitar. And I started picking the guitar first. Then along comes Sonny Boy with the Hobbs, Rice Miller. He married my sister. Then he learned me how to blow the harp. Then I went to playing from there. I've been playing ever since. I played all through Arkansas, Mississippi, Louisiana, Alabama, and around in Kentucky and places. But I never was in Texas. But I played all over the Cotton Belt countries, you know. So that's what started me to playing the blues. Then I had a woman once. She was kind of nice to me, and she pulled off and left me. And that gave me the blues, sure enough. I went to howling like a dog then, you know what I mean? So I've been playing ever since.
Wolf was in his early 40s when he made his first records for Sam Phillips in Memphis. That was in 1951. Phillips, who later discovered Elvis Presley and Jerry Lee Lewis, said that Wolf was the most arresting figure he ever saw play music, and felt that in the span of 2.5 minutes, no one could transform existence more quickly and completely. Phillips said, "To see him on a session, it was just the greatest show. The fervor in that man's face, his eyes rolling up into his head, sweat popping out all over, locked into telling you individually about his trials and tribulations. He's the only artist I ever recorded that I wish I could have had a camera on. The vitality of that man was something else."
Come out, baby, sit on my knee. I got something to tell you, worry me. You ought to keep what you got. You ought to keep what you got. You ought to keep what you got, cause you gon' need it someday. You do other men, you better keep what you got. You better keep what you got. You better keep what you got, cause you gon' need it someday.
That's Howlin' Wolf singing Keep What You Got, which he recorded at Sam Phillips' studio in 1951. As it happened, Wolf was nearly 55, but just as vital as Sam Phillips could have wished, when he pulled out all the stops for his appearance on Shindig. The Rolling Stones, who'd enjoyed a number one hit in England with their cover of Wolf's Little Red Rooster, agreed to appear on the show. It was the band's first appearance on American television, only if Wolf or Muddy Waters were also booked. Wolf was available, and he made the most of it. Indeed, for a select group of viewers, his finger-wagging, tail-shaking, harmonica-wailing performance of How Many More Years ranks as one of the greatest moments in television history. Peter Guralnick, the biographer of Elvis and Sam Phillips, says, "I've listed it as one of the top 10 TV moments of all time, one of the most significant moments in cultural history, part of a wonderful movement that couldn't be turned back." Brian Jones's biographer, Paul Trinka, writes that the Stones' founder thus engineered an event that fulfilled just about every ambition of his 23-year-old life. Buddy Guy said it broke through a boundary line that no one thought could be crossed.
I'm a tail drag. I'll wipe out my tracks. When I get what I want, I don't come sneaking back. The mighty wolf making a midnight creep.
That's Howlin' Wolf in 1964 singing Tail Dragger. On the day of the Shindig taping, Son House, the legendary Mississippi blues man who'd been rediscovered a year earlier, was in Los Angeles for concerts at UCLA. His manager, Dick Waterman, got a tip on the taping and made arrangements to bring Son to the studio. At last summer's Son House Festival in Rochester, New York, Waterman recalled that Wolf was seated when they arrived, but the instant he saw House, he unfurled his 6-foot-4-inch frame from a cramped auditorium seat like an elephant in a phone booth. From around 1930 until the time he was inducted into the U.S. Army in 1941, Wolf divided his time between farming and playing music. He had direct contact with the blues legend Charlie Patton, and in the late 30s found himself continually running into Son House and Willie Brown at Saturday night hops around the Delta. He occasionally joined the duo on what he called fast numbers to dance to. In the biography Moanin' at Midnight, Wolf says that Willie Brown was a more capable guitarist than Son House, with a knowledge of chords and the ability to finger notes. Unlike House, whose signature sound was affected by the use of a slide, Wolf said that Brown didn't have to play everything in open chords or with that bottleneck thing, but that Son was the more compelling performer. In one of the interviews that House gave after his rediscovery, he remembered seeing Wolf playing electric guitar and a rack harmonica on the streets of Robinsonville, Mississippi, in 1938. He also noted that they dated sisters for a while, and Waterman says that when they reconnected at the Shindig taping, the sisters were still on their minds. After witnessing their encounter, Brian Jones asked Waterman the identity of the man who commanded Wolf's attention. When he was told it was Son House, Jones instantly replied, "Oh, the man who taught Robert Johnson."
Feeling round for my shoe. say I know about that now. I got there walking blue. The blues ain't nothing but a lowdown shake and cheer. If you ain't had them, I hope you never will. Oh, the blues, till the lowdown won't shake and cheer.
That was Sundhouse and Willie Brown in 1941 performing Walkin' Blues. For the taping, Wolf was accompanied by the Shindogs, a house band that on this occasion included James Burton on guitar, Joey Cooper on bass, Chuck Blackwell on drums, and the 18-year-old Billy Preston at the piano. Shindig host Jack Good interrupted the overeager band to ask Brian Jones about their special guest. After acknowledging Wolf as the Stones' idol, Jones's brusque interruption of Mick Jagger feels downright acrimonious, but it was apparently typical of the discord between the band's founder and its teen idol frontman. The Stones eventually developed a sustained rapport with Muddy Waters, but this was as close as they got to Wolf. Wolf seized the moment for all it was worth, but was apparently unimpressed by all the hoopla. When the show aired a few nights later on ABC, he was napping at home in Chicago before that night's gig. His stepdaughter alerted him to the broadcast, but he just rolled over and continued to snooze.
Hey, hold it a second. What I wanted to ask Mick, that little red rooster, when you recorded it, where did you make it?
Howling Jack Good.
What? Now, I want a serious answer to this question.
In London.
Where? Oh, you can't say that. No. But don't you make some of your records in America?
Yes,
Here in Hollywood?
And Chicago.
Well, I was in Chicago a little while ago, and I came across this restaurant. I went in, and I found a chap singing the blues. I thought he was fantastic, so I booked him. And it turned out to be somebody you know about. In fact, he's quite famous, isn't he?
Yes, well, he was the first one that recorded Little Red Rooster.
Was he?
Yes.
When did he... Tell us something about him, Brian.
Well, when we first started playing together, we started playing because we wanted to play rhythm and blues, and Howling Wolf was one of our greatest idols, and it's a great pleasure to find you being booked on this show tonight. It really is a pleasure.
Thanks to Howling Jack.
So I think it's about time you shut up and we had Howling Wolf on stage.
Yeah, I agree. Okay. Let's get him on. Howling Wolf, get him on.
A year after their shindig encounter, Wolf and Son House was seen together in a film that Alan Lomax shot on a soundstage at the 1966 Newport Folk Festival. Wolf was in outstanding form on that day, too, but he wasn't so reverent toward House, who was noticeably intoxicated. Here's Alan Wolf with guitarist Hubert Sumlin playing the Delta Blues classic Dust My Broom. Much like the Rolling Stones a year earlier, Son House, who is seen in the film wearing fedora and bow tie, is obviously digging the groove of the Mighty Wolf.
You know, when you got a lazy woman, then you have to come in and tell her, say, baby, why don't you sweep up the house? And she'll jump up and tell you, sweep it up yourself. I'm gonna get up in the morning, I believe I dust my broom. I'm gonna get up in the morning, I believe I dust my broom. I'm quitting the gal I'm loving, while my friends can have my room.
To see the classic footage of Wolf on Shindig and his performance of Dust My Broom at Newport, visit the jazz blog at nepr.net. Thanks to Katie Wright for production assistance. For Jazz Beats, I'm Tom Reaney.
I leave my time alone. I got a letter this morning. They breaking up my happy home. My happy home.